Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, January 23rd.
It's Friday.
It is Friday, yes. I'm trying to figure out if January 23rd is a big deal, but I guess it's not.
No.
Unless you have a birthday, I guess.
Yeah.
But nothing happened important on that date.
No, but it's so crazy that it's almost the end of January.
I know, huh?
It was just the holidays a minute ago.
I know. Well,
time flies.
Yeah. Well, the holidays are just around the corner.
Right. Exactly. As my family counts down, we have at least 10 months until Thanksgiving, which is essentially Christmas. So.
I know. We're crazy, huh? But what can you do? So today we're going to have a guest calling in. This is one guest that happened not to call last week.
Right.
So we rescheduled, and he sounds like a very interesting man. He wrote a book, a former FBI or CIA agent. Let me see. FBI's National Security Division's Behavioral Analysis Program. Wow. So this is psychology stuff, and we learn how to attract people, influence people, things like that.
So, can't wait.
I know. Sounds pretty cool, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. So the weekend's coming. You know, actually, I saw that they we're going to have rain next week.
Yes.
So that should be cool. Isn't it like amazing how they know like a week in advance what's going to happen? I mean, sometimes they don't know a day in advance what's going to happen.
Right.
How do they know that? And then I looked like through one of the weather apps. They predicted through like day by day all the way through March. I'm like, are you kidding me? How the hell are they going to know this?
I don't know, but those scientists know some stuff. I think, you know, they can see things we don't see because they have devices that show them those things. But yeah. I want to know what the weather is going to be through March. What app do you use?
What was it? I can't even remember. But, I mean, go on any site, you know, like AccuWeather or
weather. I've only got 10-day.
Yeah.
So I need to see what happens the rest of the month.
Yeah, I know. But like I said, I wouldn't count too much on it. I mean, weather changes all the time so much. It's so unpredictable. How can they possibly? I think they just go based on the past or something, you know, and just kind of guess, okay, well, it's not going to rain for 2 weeks, so let's give them rain for a day, you know?
Well, it is pretty specific. Like, you know, for, let's say, Monday, it says morning clouds followed by afternoon sun, highs in the low 70s and lows in the 50s. How do they know that there's going to be clouds in the morning and afternoon sun?
Right.
That's so specific.
Right. But, you know, I think this is the time of the year, you know, where it gets, like, overcast at the beach and stuff. And I think they know that because you have warm air coming over a very cold ocean current, and that's what happens. We get a lot of overcast on the beach.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, you're right. I mean, I just don't know how they predict this stuff. But we should probably – maybe nobody ever checks back what they wrote, so we just let them get away with it. You know,
interesting.
We need to write it down and actually on Monday see if it happens.
Okay.
You know. But Monday, let's say it's kind of close, but still, I mean, 4 days, you know, in advance.
Well, they say that Tuesday is going to rain.
Right.
So if it rains on Tuesday, they know what they're talking about.
Right, exactly. And they did 3 days ago, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, a week in advance, my God, man, that's pretty cool. But if their prediction is accurate, we're not going to have much rain in February.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you upset
Maybe
about it?
Maybe 3 or 4 days. Yeah, I am. I mean, my last hope for this year is February. It tends to be a wet season here.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. Other than that, though, we have 80 degrees on Sunday.
Yeah.
That is so bizarre for January.
I know. What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Put on a bathing suit? It's weird.
Yeah, I know. You know who I saw last night? Remember we had Katrina Van Durham here, the beautiful model with Viva Glam magazine? Mm-hmm. Well, she was on another show last night on one of our video shows. And so I got to see her again. And she's just so nice, you know? I mean, she's a very sweet woman. And she says she's not shy of her age. She says she's almost 40. And she just looks gorgeous, you know? I told her, I said, look, I said, I'm sure you hear this all the time, but, you know, you're like so beautiful. I mean, it's like a different league, you know? I mean, you're like up here. And I mean, she's got the body work to show for it, you know? And so I think she told us she used to date guys from bands, rock bands, bikers, things like that, you know? But she's been with someone for 16 years. I mean, is that like a lucky guy or what? That's a complete package. But you know what I didn't know is that she actually changed her name. So Van Durham is not her real name. She liked the name Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
So she wanted the name with Van and something.
Oh, wow.
Like a two-name last name.
That's funny.
Yeah, so she gave it to herself.
Interesting.
I know.
I understand people renaming themselves, but at the same time, like, I have a family name, you know? So, like, I love that it connects me to my family, and there's history behind the name.
Right.
Like, you create a name, and you're, like, on your own. You wipe out your entire history, almost.
Right.
I mean, she has a very interesting history because she came from where she came from, but I just think it's like disconnecting yourself a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I mean, you're born, I mean, you don't have a say in your name.
Right.
And sometimes people just don't like it, you know, and they want to change it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, and especially in entertainment, you want to have a memorable name, you know.
Right.
But at the same time,
I'm a little worried for when I get married, what's going to happen to my name.
Yeah.
Because I really like my name a lot.
Right. Are you a hyphenator? Do you think you're going
to
hyphenate?
I don't think so. And I don't think I would do that to my kids because, like, how do you fill that in on the SATs?
Right.
I don't know what all these hyphenated kids are going to do. Like, where do you put your name? And it's like, how do you decide whose name goes first? And it's a whole thing.
Right.
These days, though, I think women are just not changing their name.
Yeah, huh?
But then my cousins are getting married, and he and his fiance are, like, talking about that same thing right now. And it's like, she wants to, you know, she's 35. She's had her name for 35 years. She's like, it'd be different if we got married when I was, like, 20-something.
Right.
Because I'm still, like, you know, becoming an adult, not known as my name in business, in life. Like, I've really committed to this name. Right. So he's like, well, I get that completely, but when we have kids, I want my kids to have the same last name as their mom.
Right.
And me, because we're a family.
That's true.
So that's like the other side to the story. Right. I have no idea what they're going to do, but I get both sides.
Yeah. And you're not sure what you're going to do yet.
No, I love my name.
Yeah, your name. I mean, look, you got a great name.
Thanks. It'd be different if my name was like something awful, but it's golden. How great is that? Mm-hmm. People are always like, oh, you're gold. Like, we're golden. I'm like, no, I'm actually golden. You are something else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it beats Goldberg or Goldenberg.
Yeah, it's right? A pretty cool name. I don't know how we got that, but.
Well, maybe they took off the Berg at one point.
And I'm sure there's some history there, but we haven't done it.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to do it for me, that'd be great.
Yeah. Do you know what your background is as far as where your grandparents came from? And
my grandparents are from Boston.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, but do you know where
before
the family
that,
originated?
I think Russia.
Russia?
Maybe Russia and Poland.
Oh, okay.
If you ask my parents, they would tell you Venice, Italy.
Yeah.
Because we love Italy. So they, like, made it up.
Okay, hold that thought. I think it's our guest calling right now. And let's go ahead and get to our guest. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this our guest for this morning?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's Jack Schaefer. Welcome to the show, sir.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for letting us reschedule your interview because we were really looking forward to your to speaking to you. I saw your book at the bookstore, and I was excited to be able to be speaking to you. So where are you calling us from this morning, Jack?
Western Illinois University, that's in Macomb, Illinois.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is that where you've lived most of your life or just for work?
I lived 20 years in Los Angeles when I was in the FBI, and I grew up in Chicago.
Oh,
and,
I see.
I'm teaching now at Western Illinois University, and I live in Los Angeles, too. I kind of fly back and forth.
I see. Okay. Sounds good. So while you had your FBI career, you were living in L.A.?
Yes.
I see.
For about 20, well, about 18 years, 17 years.
Wow. So I see you were special agent for the FBI's National Security Division's Behavioral Analysis Program. Can you explain to us a little bit about what that is, what you had to do?
Well, typically they assign us a subject or a suspect, and they want us to give the agents who are going to interview those folks some insights into who those people are and what strategies might be more successful than other strategies at the psychological level.
Right. Wow. So I mean, profiling, like, for terrorists and things like that is essential, right? I mean, people are, like, opposing profiling and things like that, but when it's a matter of national security, I think it's okay.
What we do is identify people who are potential threats to national security without regard to race, color, creed, or sexual orientation.
Right. So you just go based on the behavior and on the personality, you try to predict whether they're dangerous or not?
Yes.
What are some things that give it away that they're dangerous?
Well, in there's many situations, but let's take an airport situation. There are certain threat points in an airport. The first threat point, of course, is the initial check that the TSA does. So you're waiting in line, and people who are approaching a threat point typically get nervous because they fear getting caught. So the closer that person gets to the threat point, the more and more nervous they're going to get. Then when they get through the checkpoint, they're going to get down to the next checkpoint, which is the check-in area by the where you board the airplane.
Right.
And because they feel the threat of the getting caught with the airplane, they're even going to get more nervous. And they'll start sweating and fidgeting and moving around. Now, you take that behavior versus a normal person. Even if a person's going to be late for a plane, like I am often late for a plane, standing in line, I'm fidgeting and getting nervous. But the closer I get to that checkpoint, I calm down because I go like, ooh, I'm going to make it. If I get through, you know, the way I'm in, I'm going to make it. And then maybe I have to rush to the waiting area. And then I sit down, have a cup of tea, coffee, read the newspaper, take out my phone, and I relax because I've made it.
Yeah.
The difference is people who are going to be a threat, there's still a threat point there, and you look for that anticipatory behavior.
Wow, very cool. Now, obviously you had to learn all this. What kind of training did you get from the FBI to be able to do that?
Well, the FBI provided extensive training in a wide variety of psychological areas.
So it's all research stuff.
Plus a lot of experience and mentorship. So it came from a number of areas.
I see. Well, and that leads to the next topic, which is your book. It's called The Like Switch. And this presents techniques on how to influence, attract, and win people over. And I would imagine you're pretty qualified to do that. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book is basically derived from the techniques I use to interview people and catch spies and get them to confess or even work for us, change sides and work for us. And the biggest thing I found out is if you get that person to like you, then they're going to lower their defenses, and that gives you an opportunity to enter their psychological space and to try to convince them to do the thing that you meet the objective that you have for the interview.
Right. Wow.
And I translated those skills over to just normal relationships. So what we actually did was we thin-sliced what a normal relationship looks like. We kind of took it apart piece by piece, and we identified nonverbal cues and verbal cues that go into relationships. And what we want to do is show people is these are very important to help you, especially in a dating situation or a job situation. If you go into a job situation, you're nervous and uncomfortable. When we're nervous and uncomfortable, we don't give off friend signals. We tend to give off faux signals because we're nervous. Mm. So when you walk into a job situation with faux signals, your interviewer is going to look at you and say, there's something wrong with that guy. He's not is not normal, mm-hmm. because you're not subconsciously giving off the signals. So what you want to do is learn what they are, and then make sure that you do that.
Right.
And, one of the signals, well, there's top three. I call them the big three, is the eyebrow flash. That's a quick up and down movement of the eyebrows. It lasts about 1/6 of a second. And all that does is tell the other person, I'm not a threat. So when we approach each other, one person will eyebrow flash, the other person will reciprocate, and our brain sees that. And subconsciously, the brain says, there's no threat here, so I'm not going to necessarily pay attention to it, because the brain only pays attention to things that are a threat. So now that you know this, a lot of people come up to me later and they say, wow, I've been eyebrow flashing my whole life. I did it like 150 times today, and I didn't know I did it.
Wow.
And then you'll catch yourself eyebrow flashing. The second thing is the head tilt. When you tilt your head, you expose your carotid artery, and that's very essential to get blood to your brain. So what you're telling the person you tilt your head to is I trust you because I'm exposing a vulnerable part of my body. And it makes you look more trustworthy. It makes you look more likable. And head tilts, you go home to all your animals. You know, your pets,
right.
They go home, they'll greet you with a head tilt. Or they'll flip over on their belly and expose their vulnerable side. And what they're saying is, I'm not a threat. And the last one is the smile. Because it shows confidence, enthusiasm, it shows acceptance. But more importantly, what it does is, when you smile, you get a little shot of adrenaline, and that makes you feel good. So when you smile at somebody, they smile back, and they get a little shot of endorphins. You get a little shot of endorphins, and you're both feeling good, and that's conducive to relationships. So you want to make sure that you're issuing those types of signals when you meet people. Subconsciously, it's very important because it predisposes them to like you.
Right. So now, is it possible to consciously think about these things and control them? Because, obviously these are things we hardly notice that we do. Is there a way to consciously learn how to do that and be more in control of it?
Yeah, the first thing is become aware of it, and then you'll catch yourself doing it. You'll see how that feels. And then you can practice it. And where it comes in handy with me is when I was in the interview room and I'm talking to somebody, I don't particularly like what they did. I find what they did repulsive. I can't walk in there and not issue friend signals because they won't talk to me. Their shields will go up. So what I do is make sure, even though I don't really want to do it, I make sure that I do eyebrow flash and head tilt and smile when I greet them because I want to send the message intentionally that I'm not a threat, although those are, I'm kind of imitating what friendship signals are.
Right. And, this makes sense like in every relationship. And, it reminds me, when I went through sales training and stuff, and when you read self-help books, it's always about, befriend the person first, and then they're more open to listening to you. You got to win them over somehow and not just be seen as a salesman.
I was saying what the like switch does, it takes that a little bit further because most books say make friends with them, make them feel comfortable. The like switch actually gives you very specific
right.
verbal and nonverbal cues to achieve making people feel comfortable.
Right.
So it's just not make them feel comfortable. We're showing you in the book how do you make them feel comfortable, very specifically, how to make people feel comfortable.
There's the
golden rule of friendship, and that works 100% of the time without fail. If you want people to like you, you make them feel good about themselves. And when people feel good about themselves when they're with you, they're going to take every opportunity they can in the future to come back and see you again so they can get that same good feeling. So this is all about putting the other person first. And in dating situations, a lot of guys, they meet a woman and they try to sell themselves. The best way to sell yourself is to make that woman feel good about herself. In other words, talk about her. Let her discuss, the things in her life. You put yourself second. You put that woman first. She's going to like you. And she's going to want to come back to see you. She'll seek opportunities out.
Right.
Because she wants that good feeling again.
Right.
And it works 100%, but what gets in the way is the ego. You know, because we think the world revolves around us.
Right.
And we don't. You know, we're not in the habit of putting people first.
Right. And but, you know, in the dating situation you just brought up, I think you sort of have to be careful not to sound like an interrogator, you know, because, you know, if you focus on the other person, you ask them questions about themselves and everything, which is according to what you say. But sometimes I hear, oh, you know, he was sitting there and just interrogating me. And, you know, so it's the question is, so what do you want? You know, I mean, do you want to talk about yourself or don't you want to talk about yourself?
Well, here's the secret. And again, we explain it in the book. It's something called an empathic statement. You don't ask questions. All you do is take the last thing that person said. You use parallel language and then you reflect that message back to them. And what you're doing is saying, I get it. I understand it. I'm validating what you have to say. And that's a signal for you to keep talking. So typically you issue a empathic statement. They provide additional information. You use another empathic statement. They provide additional information. And they like the attention. They feel the attention belongs on them. So they don't see it as a problem.
Right.
The problem comes when you say, I understand how you feel. Because the first thing people say is, no, you don't. You're not me. So when you construct an empathic statement, you want to use so you at the front of your statement.
Right.
And that keeps that focus on the other person. So you're not asking questions. You're not interrogating the person. All you're doing is allowing that person to fully develop their thoughts. And you're giving them the spotlight. People want to be in the spotlight. They want to talk to other people, and they want people to listen.
Yes, women definitely want to know that the guy is listening and remembers the things that you said.
That helps.
Yeah, so you think that women would favor a guy that listens a lot?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I just use an empathic statement.
Right.
Yes, it makes so much sense because then we feel that you care about what we have to say.
Yes, and that's the key thing. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing when you put other people first because it took me a while to learn this, but if you put other people first and they like you, they're going to want to help you if you have problems. They're going to want to help you if you have a situation and need assistance. You don't have to ask them. They're going to voluntarily do it because they like you.
Wow.
Because I voluntarily help people I like.
Right.
And the other thing is, you can go through life and make people's days just a little bit better. So anytime I go to restaurants and there's wait staff or there's clerks anywhere, I always use a nice empathic statement, do the friend signals, and I want to make them feel good, just if nothing, for a moment.
Right.
Because I've seen so much death and destruction in my job, it's kind of nice to make people feel good.
That's very cool. Very nice. And a great perspective on human relations. Dr. Jack Schaefer, the book is The Like Switch. And did it just come out? Did you just publish this? Jack, did you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Did the book just come out?
Oh, yeah. It came out last week, last Tuesday. It's available on Kindle. It's available Barnes & Noble bookstores. It's available Amazon.com, iTunes, and it's an audio version. There's a Facebook page, the Like Switch, the title of the book. There's a web page is Dr. JackSchaefer.com is the webpage.
Great. And we'll put a link to that on our website so people can go and check out more information about you and your book. Dr. Jack Schaefer, thank you so much for calling in. Very fascinating. I highly recommend the book. We didn't get the copy in time, but it sounds fascinating to me, and I like this stuff. You know, I like psychology and relationships and so forth.
Yeah, it gives you it's a difference between seeing the world in you know, black and white or color,
right?
Or I should say HDTV and normal TV,
right?
Yeah, and you opened
up
our eyes.
Sharpens your viewpoint of who you are and who other people are.
Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, sir, and good luck with the book and all the best to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Interesting stuff, you know? I mean, I like this.
Me too.
I remember when I was much younger, I got a book called Body Language or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was like, you know, how to read people and stuff. And some of the stuff is true, you know? It's pretty interesting.
I just love anything that'll give you like tools to succeed in dealing with other humans that are so usually unpredictable. Right. If you can figure them out just a little bit more, I feel like you'll get ahead.
Right. No, and I mean, it makes so much sense, you know, with what he's saying. I mean, you know, there have been classics like How to Win Friends and Influence People,
right,
for example, right? He was saying the same thing, you know? So, I mean, it's just that I think that Jack put it in a way that's more like relevant to today, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, what was his name? Andrew Carnegie. Dale Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie was the steel guy.
Yeah.
But Dale Carnegie, that's what he claimed. I mean, you know, it in sort of like a language from the 30s, but it was always about smile, you know, put the other person first, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. you know, so people will like you.
I like knowing FBI tactics and things like that because it is so interesting what they do and it's, you know, so specific, and they really can profile people based on certain things that they're trained in. And to make that usable in everyday just to us, that's, I think, a great tool.
I know. And you got to remember that some people probably already know those tools and are reading you, you know,
right.
So you might want to know how to read them in return.
Yeah. Actually, I'm Aaron Cohen, when I first met him, he was like, I see that, what you're doing there.
I'm really?
What am I doing? I didn't do anything. He's like, no, your body language, like you just twitched your eye and it means this. I'm like, ugh.
Wow. Yeah. People read you all the time.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But it makes so much sense, and I've heard this before, what he said, that, you know, people will like you for the way you make them feel about themselves.
Yes.
You know? And so, you know, when you're with someone, you want to make them feel important, you know?
Right.
You want to make them feel likable and so forth. And, you know, on the one hand, it sounds like, wait a minute, why are we putting other people before us? We're taught to love ourselves and all that stuff. But I think it all goes together. It doesn't mean you like them more or you
right.
put them before you. It's just that you pick up techniques to really endear yourself on people.
Right. And I do think the general principle of loving yourself should still come first, but that's you on your own.
Right.
And that's why they say you can't depend on other people for your own happiness.
Right.
You should love yourself first. But then you should also love how somebody makes you feel when you're with them versus, like, them making you feel terrible.
Right.
Like, they should only benefit your life and make your life better versus make it worse.
Right.
You wouldn't want that person around.
Right. And that's why, you know, people wonder, why is my relationship, why is my marriage not working? And then you got to, like, think, well, you're fighting all the time, you know?
Right.
You're calling him names. He's calling you all kinds of things, you know? Of course you're going to feel, you know, crappy about each other.
Right.
You know, you don't want to make somebody feel bad about themselves.
People sometimes forget to look inward at what they're doing and only look outward and blame.
Yeah.
So
it's easier to look outward, huh?
Right.
And blame someone.
But if you actually stop for a second and think, what is it I might be doing to this other person?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd get a lot farther.
I think so. I think so, you know. So the book is The Like Switch. And
I already added it to my Amazon Kindle.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm going to read this. In fact, I'm going to expect a book from them. You know, they always send us books, and I think they might have forgotten this time. But if not, I'm willing to buy this. I mean, it's.
I think it's definitely worth
enough.
It.
Yeah. I know. When you deal with people all the time, and he's talking about likability quotient and spot the lie, both in person and online. Master nonverbal cues.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know.
All of that.
I know. Wow. I'm looking forward to this book.
Me too. I mean, I feel like I'll end up being on like high alert and being like, oh, no, you lied. Gotta go.
Yeah.
Like anybody that does anything, like, oh, I saw that. Not
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know. Do we really want to know that? You know, then we wouldn't have any friends.
I think what we need to do is probably use it for good and take what we can from each person.
Right.
Not everybody's going to be honest all the time. Not everybody's going to be best person all the time. So maybe we just spot things. Now we know what to expect from those people.
Right.
And then we just manage our expectations.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think it helps men a lot if they want to pick up a woman. Yeah, to know if she's sending good body languages or if she's not interested.
Actually, I think that everyone should read that because some people are very confused.
Yeah. Well, you don't know because maybe they send you mixed signals and stuff. You know?
Maybe you're the one that's mixed up about it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I always think my signals are very clear, but then people don't always know what I'm saying. So I don't know.
Oh, wow. So the king of Saudi Arabia died.
He did. He did. And they
king
already
Abdullah.
Replaced him with his brother.
Yeah. Crown Prince Salman. I mean, this guy was like 90 years old. And, so now they're saying, you know, every time there's somebody like in those autocratic countries, you know, where the government controls everything, people think that, you know, if the leader goes, then they're gonna the next one will be more moderate and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like Fidel Castro and the guy in North Korea and all these things. You know, they think that things are gonna improve. Sometimes they get worse, so you never know. Syria also, you know, the son turned out to be even more cruel than his father. So go figure, you know, but. So I wouldn't hold my breath as far as that, but
I can't believe they still have kings.
Yeah,
that's just so crazy to me to think that there are kings living amongst us.
Yeah,
I guess in this day and age.
Yeah, well, they're living in the Stone Age. I mean, look at their laws and their rules. You
know, the lashing.
Yeah, and the women can't drive and can't be alone out without a man.
Right.
Come on.
However, they are an ally of ours now, aren't they?
Well, you know, it's just because where they are and because they have a lot of money.
Right.
You know, they have oil and stuff. That's what keeps them going. You know, many of the Arab countries, what keeps them alive is their oil. You know, they happen to sit on a lot of oil. But Saudi Arabia, you know, recently has been more moderate. So we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they got to start with themselves and give their people a little more room to move. I mean, my God, you know. Yeah.
But Yemen, on the other hand, has no one in charge right now.
Oh, yeah. I heard the government collapsed or something.
The president resigned.
Really?
And I think who else was it? Okay, the president, the prime minister, and cabinet have all resigned.
Oh, wow. So there's no leader right now.
Because of the, I don't know how to say that, Houthi rebels took over.
Okay.
And they had kidnapped the president's aide, and so he resigned. There's a chance that he could reinstate his position. But
so this is like blackmailing him to leave his post, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And he did, and so did the cabinet.
Wow.
But and they could come back. So, and the parliament's still in place.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is what terrorists did. They caused the whole government to fall.
Yeah, well, so they wanted more power in making decisions, but it seems like they didn't want to actually be president. They wanted to have him as like a figurehead, which they controlled, but they don't want the actual responsibility of the country.
Right.
So now they don't know who's going to be in charge, which might be why he comes back into power.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very convoluted politics out there.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Michael Moore said about snipers? You probably heard of it.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about that.
We did talk about
it?
Okay. Well, the hell with it then. And the hell with Michael Moore. I don't like him anymore.
Well, I think he and Seth Rogen both like took back their statements, or they like buried their statements.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
People have lots to say, and then they're like, wait, maybe they shouldn't have.
I know. Well, yeah, he tried to clarify this and say his uncle was killed by a sniper and stuff. But come on, you know, I mean, these guys are putting their lives on the line for us. You don't call them cowards.
Right.
You know, it's bullshit. And some people just can't keep their mouth shut, you know, and he's one of them.
Right.
You know?
Which is fine because, you know, we have that thing called freedom of speech.
Right.
But maybe think about what you're going to say before you say it
yeah.
and make an educated statement about it.
Right. rather than make an ass out of yourself.
Right. But he's also used to that, and it's not surprising, and I don't think anyone faults him for it. I just say, okay, great. He made a statement.
Yeah, it's sort of expected from him almost, right. You know?
I would be more surprised if it was somebody else saying it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know.
At least he's consistent.
Yeah. So there's rumors now, I mean, everywhere that Fox is going to bring back The X-Files. Did you ever watch The X-Files?
No, I don't like scary things.
But okay. Well, sometimes I guess it's scary. But it's not meant to be a scary show, you know? I mean, it's just about... So you don't like unnatural phenomena and things like that? Does that scare you?
I don't like things that, like
paranormal?
Like, pop out of nowhere, or, like, that you only see when it's dark, or, like, yeah. I'm not into things that, like, surprise.
Right.
I don't like that.
What about aliens and things like that?
I don't really care if they exist, cool, but,
right. I know, well...
Don't pop out at me.
Yeah. I don't think there's any such thing as aliens, but I like watching movies about it. And The X-Files, I mean, as much as the plot, it was also the actors. I mean, David Duchovny and Julian Anderson, right? Is that her name?
Julianne Moore?
No. Gillian Anderson.
Gillian
Anderson, right. And David Duchovny. Total chemistry between them, you know. I mean, I can't think of anybody who would have done those characters better.
Are they going to be the ones playing the
roles? Yeah, they will. But they're saying, you know, there's no way they have time for like a full season or something. So,
right. Isn't he still doing Californication, or is that off the air?
No, that's off the air. Now he's starting a new show called, let me see, I'll tell you in a minute. Well, I don't know. But I was just reading, he's starting a new show. He also wrote a book. It's a children's book, something about a cow. Yeah. But that's kind of cute, you know. It's a novel, though. But so they called it a novel, so I don't understand how he's writing kids' books. But, you know, what do I know?
Hmm.
Yeah. So that should be cool. I mean, if anybody likes it or liked it before, definitely something. You know, and if they don't... If they don't bring it back, maybe I'll just watch some past shows.
You could do that.
Yeah. Those were fun. What else did I just want to bring up? That 24, I guess, is going to continue without Kiefer Sutherland. That's what they're talking about.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I know. I remember the only time I watched the show is before they planned on actually making it a repeating show. It was like one season, and they told you the amazing thing about it is that every show was an hour out of 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, so they had 24 episodes. And so it was like in real time. And that was an interesting concept. And then so I watched that whole thing, which was pretty cool. But, you know, when they made it into a regular series, I never really watched it. But I imagine it's pretty good, right?
I don't know. I never got into it.
Yeah.
It was the, like, one show I didn't get into.
Yeah.
But people were obsessed with it. Everybody wanted to be Jack Bauer.
Yeah. Huh?
I have friends that, like, swore they were. And I was like, you're not. Calm down. It's a TV show and you are not that guy.
You tell it as it is, let me tell you.
But one friend had, like, pajamas that said, I am Jack Bauer. I was like, calm down, you're an adult. And you have a onesie that says, I'm Jack Bauer.
Oh, God. Do you have any friends that are into Frozen? Good.
Yeah, so actually,
I do. A little more mature than that.
Well, no, there are a couple, like, of people that I've worked with in the past that were younger, like maybe 5 years younger than me. But I get why they love it. It's good. Yeah. I don't know that I would love it to the extent that they do.
Right.
But it's good. I can say that it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying it's the most successful Disney movie.
Makes sense.
Yeah, of all time.
It's real good.
Yeah. It looks pretty good.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, because I don't have little kids anymore. But we have a girl in the family. She's 6 years old, five, six. And she's totally engrossed and enamored with Frozen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's got everything of Frozen. Every time we buy her something, we bought her like a blanket or something with Frozen on it.
Don't you want to know what she's into? You got to watch it.
Yeah, I know. I should, huh?
I think.
I mean, those movies are fun.
They are really fun, and I do think they cover adult issues.
They do.
And they soften them for kids.
Right.
So, I mean, I just watched Big Hero 6, and I told you I love that thing. I was like, what is happening to me? Who have I become? But I think when you actually do watch them and you get past the idea that they're animated, you can enjoy them.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, and I actually enjoyed the animation because you can see the art in it, you know.
Right.
And I used to do animation, too. I had a computer animation company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've always paid attention to all these things because I love graphics. I like things like that. So, yeah, I should definitely catch this. I mean, I've seen almost all of the Pixar movies, many of the Disney movies, but also because I had little kids, so it was an opportunity to do that. But I'll sit with her and watch it. What the hell, you know?
You might as well.
Yeah, and she'll probably explain the whole thing to me.
Probably. She'll probably sing the whole time, too.
Yeah, I know.
Those songs are catchy, man.
That's what they're saying. There's a song, Let It Go, or something.
Oh, that thing is so good.
I never heard it.
But anytime somebody now says the phrase, Let It Go, I'm like, the song is in my head.
Really?
And they're like, Let It Go. And everybody says Let It Go all the time because that's just life and you have to let it go. So I'm like, Let It Go, Let It Go. I mean, it's all the time now.
When did you watch it? I mean, like a long time ago?
Last year, because it was like all the rage and it was nominated for all those awards and I had a screener of it, of course. We watched it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Rio?
No.
Rio is fun. It's a lot of fun. It's Jesse Eisenberg doing the voice of the main character. And I love him. I think he's like the best. You know, he was like Social Network.
Yeah.
And it was called Social Network, right?
Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
I loved him in it. So that's why I went to see Rio. I mean, I love colorful animation. They have great stories. And because he was in it, you know.
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway does the female.
I think that's so cool, too, to like see actors that we know doing animation.
Right.
Because you hear their voice and it's like you see something completely different.
Right.
And I just love that. But I really want to see How to Train Your Dragon and How to Train Your Dragon 2, because How to Train Your Dragon 2 is like sweeping it up in all the award shows.
Right. That's what you said. Yeah. It's worth seeing. You know, I mean, I saw they had like when we went to see a movie, they had that as a preview or something. And yeah, I mean, the graphics are like eye-popping.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the story is like, but I mean, I'm not into dragons or anything, but it seems pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? Tonight I'm seeing a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Cake and The Gambler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I will let you know how they are.
A double feature.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we're watching it at home, but yeah.
Right. But that's a lot of movie to watch.
It is. Starting early, because I have yoga from 5 to 6, then we're going to make dinner, and then we're going to watch 2 movies.
I see. Okay. Sounds cool.
Yeah. Because tonight's movie night. It's Friday. Can't go out. It's like a weeknight. Tomorrow night, I go out.
Oh, I see. You don't like going out Friday night?
I don't like going out 2 nights in a row, so if I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick Saturday night.
I see.
Because of Lauren and her schedule, and she's the other drunk girl, so we have to go out together.
I see. Okay.
So.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I went out Wednesday night, and I just can't handle that many nights anymore.
Yeah, huh?
Last night, I caught up on The Newsroom, and that is so good.
Really?
Yeah.
The show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Never even heard of it.
What? On HBO? It's so good.
I don't watch HBO. I don't watch any of that.
So good.
But yeah, I told you, I watch 2.5 Men. That's as far as network TV goes.
Well, The Newsroom is about a newsroom. So it's really interesting, I think, even more so now doing our radio show.
Right.
Because we cover like serious topics. I mean, in my rest of my life, I never talk about the news. And I talk about silly things probably or anything comedic. So I have a new respect for the show, The Newsroom, now covering the news.
Right. Okay. And who's in it?
Jeff Daniels.
That's right. Jeff Daniels. Okay. So now I'm connecting this together.
It's so interesting and fast paced and fun. And there's a lot of comedy, like, underlying all the things they say and do. Olivia Munn is in it, and I love her. She's so dry. Everything she says is so dry and ridiculous. And it's like, there's comedy, but she has no facial expression. So you're like, What did you just say? What? You got to watch it.
Really?
Yeah. I was like laughing and I was like writing to my friend. I was like, wow, this show is actually so funny.
Wow.
Yeah. Got to
watch.
Sounds
good.
Got to watch.
So now when you go out, where do you go? Like to clubs and stuff?
No.
Bars?
No. Bars and lounges, restaurants.
I see.
Other people's houses.
Oh, okay.
Events.
Do you go to look for guys too?
No. No?
So they find you.
In my younger years, I went out with a purpose, and that was to like meet people. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm not likely going to meet them that way. And they're probably not at the places I'm at. I would hope they're like home reading a book or like with their friends doing something intelligent. But so when I go out with my girlfriends to have time with my girlfriends.
Right.
Or I'll go to a specific event that has a purpose.
Right.
But I'm not just like out to meet people.
Right. But inadvertently you do, because I'm sure people approach you and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
It happens. Yeah. But it's not my point anymore of going out. And I feel like when you go out with that as your mission, you leave disappointed.
Yeah, that's true. And especially for guys, I mean, they get desperate, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
As the night wears off.
Oh, God. Ugh. This is why I don't want to meet a guy out, because that is their issue.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. And I think guys that are going out to pick up women are not looking for girlfriends.
No.
You know?
And we can smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that. I'd rather meet somebody like doing something that they're interested in. Let's say I'm out at an event and they're also at that event, and the event, you know, benefits whatever, that they're there because we both have that interest.
Right.
I'd rather come together like that than just be like, we're two single people at a bar and no one else is here.
Right. So you actually consciously do that? I mean, if let's say you go out to the bar and this really cool guy approaches you and stuff, I mean, you'll give him time of day, right?
Very little bit, but yes.
Very little
bit. He's got, like, the clock starts once he starts talking, and I'm like, okay. Like, I didn't come here for this.
Starts, huh?
Let me go back to my friends. You're wasting my time. Move on.
Yeah.
If it's that kind of person, but it could also be somebody that's interesting that happens to be there because it's his friend's birthday and he has to be there.
Right.
So it just depends.
That's true, yeah. All right. Well, you know, sounds good.
Yeah.
I know. I need to find. So there's probably a lot of cool bars where you live and stuff, right?
Because
you live like in the city.
In West Hollywood, yeah. There's right. interesting bars there. There's always new ones popping up. And
right. Do you ever go to the gay bars, like to not have to be hit on and stuff
no.
like that? Because many women do, you know. I mean, the funny thing is my son has a gay friend, and every time he goes with him to the club, he meets like straight women there.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Well, he says it's the best pickup place.
For me, if I'm going to go out and purposely like not want to meet men, I might as well go to my friend's house. You know, it, like we will go out if we want to be around people and it be lively. I don't need it to be a gay bar because I don't want to get hit on. Right. I would just go where I would go.
Right. No, I'm not saying they go there not to get hit on. I think they say that these are fun bars, you know.
Yeah.
And that. So who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I just wish I had a house and could entertain my friends all the time and just a space for everybody to be at.
Well, you will.
One day. Sure.
Yeah,
you right will. Right now I have an apartment sure. and they don't all fit.
Yeah. Well, you know, you still have like the best of your life ahead of you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, are you looking forward to like your 30s?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to everything though.
Yeah.
So.
30s are great.
30s I'm just excited great. For whatever happens.
Yeah.
It'll be great, whatever it is.
Yeah. My 30s sucked because of circumstances, but otherwise, I think it's a good age because you're still young, but you're not silly like you're in your 20s. You
right.
know, you start actually being like a, you know, someone like an adult. I mean, like,
right.
you know.
You apply the knowledge you've gained from your sillier years, and you right. use it and can move forward and not make those same mistakes.
Right. And I find people in the 30s to be more interesting, you know, than their younger
yes.
generation. So I don't know. But yeah. So finally, I just want to bring this up because we've been talking about ISIS, and I say, like, why isn't anybody doing anything
yes.
about it, right? Well, so they just released this information that says that the coalition killed 6,000 ISIS fighters in battles.
Yes.
And that's a lot.
That is a lot. I can't believe there have been 6,000 of them. I mean, we see, you know, what's going on with the Japanese hostages, and you see that one guy.
Right.
That one, what do they call him? He Jihadi like John or something like that. And they're trying to figure out who he is based on, like, his voice, his posture, his injuries, because supposedly he got hurt, but then he's standing there. So I just think it's interesting that there are so many that believe in that, like, extreme view, and I guess we've killed a lot of them. 6,000.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot, you know. That they're saying half of their top command, so maybe there is hope. Who knows? They're saying that their numbers are about 9,000 to 18,000 fighters, but some believe that they could muster a force of upward of 31,000 people.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot of fighters to fight.
That is a lot of fighters to fight.
It's military.
Yeah. You
know, it's military size. Well, you know, I just...
I wish there was a way to do it where we didn't have to kill each other and could, like, you know, resolve issues and change the way we all think about things, but...
Not as long as men run the world.
Oh, boy.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
All right, Jen. Well, thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Enjoy your movies. Enjoy your bars. Enjoy everything. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Great week. And we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.